You're so much more than what you do. That's why it doesn't matter if you're the janitor or the CEO. I mean, it just doesn't matter. What we do doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is, am I doing what God wants me to do? Well, I titled this message tonight, Breaking Free. And I wanted to just start out by saying, whose life are you living? And some of these things I'm going to just go a little bit slow on because I don't want to go so fast that it just runs right by you and you don't get a chance to think about it. Whose life are you living? Are you living the life that you really believe God wants you to live? See, I believe when we're doing what God wants us to do that we're going to enjoy life. I don't think God calls us to be miserable. I mean, it's one thing to be a miserable sinner. It's another thing to be a miserable saint. And there's far too many really, really cranky, unhappy Christians. And part of it is a lack of willingness to really follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we so much want to be accepted by everybody that we tend to get into this thing of doing what's expected of us rather than what we really feel like God wants us to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to take that step of faith to say this weekend, okay, Lord, I want to follow you. I commit to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that God will take you out of some of the boxes that you've been in for a long time. Are you with me? Yes. And not everybody is going to like it. When you start making changes, not everybody is going to like it. So, maybe you're living the exact life that you want to live. And maybe you've just got a great life and you really wouldn't want anything to change. Well, I hope you'll pray for all the rest of us here who want to get a little bit better, you know? And like I said, your life is not going to change if you're not willing to change. Life can't change if you're not willing to change. You know, the pressure is not just out in the world. There's pressure in the church to be what people think you're supposed to be. You might be pressured to go to a prayer meeting every week that you don't really feel like you're supposed to be at. You might be pressured to be on some kind of a committee that you don't feel like you're supposed to be on. If you want to follow the Holy Spirit, you've got to get good at saying, no, that's not what I believe God wants me to do. Let me say it again. If you're going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to say that over and over and over this weekend, because you know what? Jesus died for us so we could have a brand new way of living. And that is to no longer be under the law, rules, and regulations. And that means not just the Old Testament law, but even the rules and regulations that everybody sets out for our life. People have a lot of expectations. And the problem is you're only one person and everybody expects something else out of you. And somehow in the process, you get lost and you can lose sight of what you even want to do. What does God really want me to do? What do I want to do? Do I even like my life? Do you know how many people just hate their life? They just put up with it and they just endure it. I'm just trying to make it through till I get to heaven. Well, heaven is going to be better than any of this is, that's for sure. But I believe that we're supposed to enjoy the journey. How many of you think we should be enjoying the journey? And so I just wonder if there's anybody in here that you've just totally lost yourself. See, a lot of hands going up. Maybe you need to, first thing you need to do is spend some time by yourself sometime this weekend and just get back in touch with your own heart and what God, what do you want me to do? What, you know, I believe that what God wants you to do, he'll give you a desire to do. Maybe you need to get back in touch with what are your desires? What is it that you really desire? Whose life are you living? Are you living the life that you were truly meant to live, or one that somebody else has designed for you? Now, what if being you requires you to be different from most other people? I tried having a garden and canning tomatoes, and this big swarm of black bugs came in the night before we were going to harvest and ate big holes in all my tomatoes. And I called the girl next door. I said, our tomatoes are ruined. We can't can tomatoes. Bugs came in and ate them. She went out and said, mine are fine. I got a little miffed at God. I'm like, now, I'm a woman of faith here. And I'm praying over those tomatoes. And why did you let the bugs eat mine and not hers? He said, I never called you to grow tomatoes. God had no obligation to protect my tomatoes because that's not what he called me to do. And so when I stepped out to follow what I believed was the call of God on my life, and that's all I know how to say it at this point, is I believed that it was, but what I believed actually made absolutely no sense. See, in all probability, God will call you to do something that just seems like ridiculous. Like, I can't do that. Let me tell you something. If what God puts in your heart to do is something you can do, then it's probably not God. Because he's going to give you something that you're going to have to lean on him and have a little bit of a right kind of fear. Man, God, if you don't show up, I am in big trouble. Amen. God wants us to put our confidence in him, not in ourselves. Let me ask again. Are you willing to be totally different than your little group? Because you know what? If the little group you hang with now won't accept the real you, then God will give you a new group that will. Amen. It's time to live your life rather than trying to please people by trying to be what you think they want you to be. Now, I'm not saying that we don't do things for people, that we don't try to make people happy. I'm not saying that everything I do should be something that I want to do and I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm talking about the bigger issue of what are you doing with your life. How many of you can't stand your job? Come on. All right, we got some people actually got out of their seat on that one. Okay, let me ask you a question. How silly is it to go to work every day someplace where you hate? Doing a job that you hate. You say, well, I got to make a living. Well, I don't disagree with that. But you know what? While you're making a living at the job you hate, how about looking for one that you might actually really like? Let me tell you something. Some of you need some change. You just need some change. Nothing different is going to happen to you if you're not ever willing to do anything different. You're never going to find out if you're right if you're not willing to be wrong. This whole fear of failure and what people are going to think is just crippling people from reaching their destinies. It's terrible what that does. And see, the thing is if you really know who you are in Christ and you really know how much God loves you, then it gives you a boldness because you realize that you're more than what you do. So if you try to do something because you really believe God's leading you to do it and it doesn't work out, why is it so hard for people to just say, you know what, I thought it was God. It wasn't. Didn't work out. But I'm going to try something else again. Maybe you're still parked at the point of your last failure. Come on. Or maybe somebody really hurt you and you're still parked at the point of that pain. You're sitting back 5, 10 years ago still hating them for what they did when there's a wonderful life waiting for you. I'm going to tell you something. If you start really following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, or what you think is the leadership of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you'll hit it dead on and you'll be perfectly right, and sometimes you're going to be wrong. Because I'll tell you how you learn how to hear from God. By making mistakes. Making mistakes. I tried to go on television a few years before it was time. Sometimes you'll have something in your heart, and it's the right thing in your heart, but you've got the wrong timing. Amen? Would you rather really enjoy your life and be fulfilled and get to the end of your life and really feel like, you know what, I had a good ride and I believe that I did what God wanted me to do? Or would you rather have everybody applaud for you because they like what you're doing? Come on. Some of you have some decisions to make. We have to talk about confidence, because there's no life of adventure unless we are confident. And we know the one thing that blocks and hinders confidence is fear. So I wrote a book a few years ago called Living Courageously. I wanted to call it Do It Afraid. But anyway, it opens with a letter to fear, and I want to read it to you. Dear fear, I only refer to you as dear because of our long-term intimate relationship, and certainly not because you are dear to me in any way. In fact, you've been a tormenting influence from start to finish. You have told me lies and prevented me from doing the things I wanted to do and should have done. You are indeed a miserable, wretched companion, and one that I no longer am willing to be involved with. I'm writing you this letter to let you know that from this point forward, I will not fear. Although I may feel your presence, I will not bow down to your demands. I have a friend whose name is Jesus, and he has promised to never leave me nor forsake me, but to be with me always. He is indeed a powerful friend, and although you do have some power, his is by far much greater than yours. You can come against me, but Jesus lives in me, and the power of the one who is in me is greater than you are. Now, although I cannot prevent you from coming to visit, I do want to give you notice that you will be ignored from now on. I'm far too busy now fellowshipping with my new friend Jesus and developing an intimate relationship with him to give any of my time to you. The more time I spend with Jesus, the more courageous I become. He's teaching me a new way to live, one that's exciting and adventurous, one that is fearless. I also want to inform you that since I have so much experience with you now and know how self-defeating it is to listen to you, I intend to tell as many people as I can what a thief and a liar you are. The years I have wasted with you will be redeemed, and I will bear much good fruit. Thank you, dear fear, for driving me to Jesus. You see, you made me so miserable that I sought a way to be free from you, and Jesus met me where I was and set me free. Now, should you decide to waste your time and try to visit me even after my letter, I'm letting you know ahead of time that you will be met by faith in God, a determination that I will not fear. sincerely and determined, and there's a place for your name. So you should buy this book and start there. When you really believe that God wants you to do something, you got to be willing to do it, even if you do it afraid. Fear is an evil spirit that causes feelings that make us want to cower and back down. I'll never forget the first what I would call a big speaking engagement. Prior to that, you know, if I got to teach 200 people, that was huge. And there was a conference that was going to happen in Jacksonville, Florida, and a speaker that was supposed to come canceled, and somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody knew me. I'm trying to make it clear I was not anybody's first pick. And I wasn't a main speaker. I was a workshop speaker. And on opening night, those 900 people looked to me like 9 million people. And there was Reverend so-and-so on the front row and Dr. so-and-so and Bishop so-and-so and another Reverend so-and-so and a Professor so-and-so and Joyce. I mean, I felt so... And you know what? The devil wants you to feel little. He wants you to feel insignificant and totally useless. But he is a liar. And he is never going to leave you alone if you don't confront him and say, I'm going to do what I believe I'm supposed to do. I don't care if I do it shaking. I'm doing, from now on, I'm doing what I believe God wants me to do. Amen? Well, they wanted the workshop speakers to come up that night and just give like a little 2 or 3 minutes on what their workshop was going to be on so people couldn't decide, you know, where they might want to go. Well, I got up to say what my workshop was going to be about, and I remember I was going to teach out of Galatians 3:3 about we're changed by grace, not by works. And I was so scared that when I opened my mouth to try to tell people what I was going to speak about, all that came out was a squeak. You know, when you're scared, you feel like you got to go to the bathroom, you shake, you're nervous, you're sweating, your mind goes crazy. And you know what? I could hear the devil screaming in my ear, you are out of your league. You are in over your head. You need to get off this platform, get back to Fenton, Missouri, where you belong, and stay there the rest of your life and just shut up. Well, I had a choice to make. And many of you have a choice to make, and you have choices to make day in and day out in your lives. And you pay a price for doing anything worth doing, but there's always reward. Where there's risk, there's always reward. Did you hear me? And so I knew I had two choices, run off the platform, go home crying, or try again. So I mustered up everything I could from deep inside me and opened my mouth, and whew, out it came. And the next day, my workshop was completely full, people hanging out of the doors. They bought every single, back then, teaching cassette tapes that I took. They would have bought the tablecloth if we would have sold it to them. The Bible says in Proverbs, in the Amplified Bible, and I love this. It says, the wise shall inherit glory, all honor and good, but shame is the highest rank conferred on a self-confident fool. And in the Amplified Bible, everywhere where it uses the word fool, in brackets it says, a self-confident man. So anybody that's self-confident is a fool. You know why? You are going to disappoint yourself. Amen. And other people will disappoint you. And hey, I love people, I love relationships, I love having friends, but I learned a long time ago, I don't care how good of a friend they are, someday when you need them, they're not gonna be there, or you're gonna want them to understand and they're not gonna understand. And it's not because they're bad, they're just human. Paul said, put no confidence in the flesh. Faith is taking step one before you know what step two is. And boy, that takes courage. You know why? Because we want a full blueprint. We want to know everything that's going to happen. But you know, the Israelites, the waters of the Jordan didn't part until they put their foot in it. And some of you are just going to have to put your foot in it. Come on now. You're just going to have to find out if you're right. And you may be wrong. But it won't be the end of the world. Oh, God, what if I miss you? What if I miss you? What if I miss you, God? What if I miss you? I still remember where I was at. I was driving in my car, and God was trying to put something. We'd been wrestling over something I thought he wanted me to do, and I was so afraid I was going to miss God. He said, if you miss me, I'll find you. See, that's the thing you got to understand is making a mistake is not the end of the world. Why are we so wrought up about making a mistake? If you know who you are in Christ, then you know who you are, and it's about more than what you do. How many of you know who the actress Joan Crawford was? You've at least have heard of her. I read one time that somebody said to her after she was much older and not acting anymore, didn't you used to be Joan Crawford? I thought, I hope and pray that nobody ever comes up to me and says, didn't you used to be Joyce Meyer? Because if they do, they're going to get a sermon. I'm going to say, I used to be, and I still am, because who I am is not tied up in what I do. Let me tell you something that I'm having to learn, and you might as well learn it too. Nobody can always do what they've always done. No matter how good you are at it, somebody's going to come along sooner or later that's better at it than you are. And someday you will get old. And you just won't be able to do everything that you used to do. So you got to be very careful about having all your worth and value tied up in what you do. You're so much more than what you do. That's why it doesn't matter if you're the janitor or the CEO. I mean, it just doesn't matter. What we do doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is, am I doing what God wants me to do? God so strongly put it on my heart to teach tonight that adventure is not always stepping out into something new. Many times it's letting go of something old. And I feel so strongly about it that I believe that there may be more of you here that need that. I really do. And sometimes the things you have to let go of, they're not things that you hate and would love to let go of. A lot of times they're things that you want to keep doing. But you can't do everything and do it all good. I asked my trainer, because I work out 3 times a week, and I have now for 14 years. I wish I would have started earlier in life, but thank God I got started when I did. And, you know, the thing that really provoked me to start working out, well, first of all, I took a good look at myself one day in the mirror. Not fully clothed, forget that vision. And all the stuff that used to be up here was down there. And I thought, oh God, I'm in trouble. And I really felt like the Lord said to me, if you want to finish the last third of your journey and fully complete what I've given you to do, then you got to start exercising on a regular basis. Now, I'm not trying to get you to do that. I'm just telling you what he told me. And I started doing that over 14 years ago. And I asked my trainer recently, I said, so if I keep doing what I'm doing, when I'm 90 years old, will I still be able to do it? And he said, no. I said, well, why not? He said, because you'll be 90 years old. He said, you'll still be able to work out, but you won't be lifting as heavy a weights as you do now. You might have to do less reps. There might be some exercises you can't do anymore. And you know what? When you're strong and you're like a bulldog and you know, I've spent my life pressing through things and pushing through things, and starting with when my dad was sexually abusing me and deciding I am going to do something with my life. I got so tired of him telling me that I was never going to amount to anything, and I decided one day, I am going to prove you wrong. But I really believe that some of you, the biggest adventure that you could possibly have is to let go of something that's no longer bearing fruit in your life, or perhaps never has borne any fruit in your life. You don't even know why you're doing it. You're just kind of addicted to it. And you just can't imagine not doing it. Well, can I tell you something? God always makes you let go of something before he lets you take hold of something new. You're foolish if you think you can always do what you've always done. Life is a journey, and things are anointed for a season, and friendships are anointed many times for a season. I have people that were very good friends of mine 20 years ago that I never hear from now. And they don't hear from me. Everything is beautiful in its time. You say, well, how do I know if God's done with something? Oh, you know. If you're honest with yourself, you know. Being honest with ourselves is not always easy, right? Well, I'm still on page one. I have a problem here. Nothing new. What happens actually is I end up preaching it all. I just do it backwards and upside down. And Philippians 3:3, put no confidence in the flesh, but only in Christ Jesus. Don't be conformed to this world. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:27-31. I have to try to help some of you stop discounting yourself and thinking that because you're not super smart, God can't use you, or you don't have the right education or the right friends, or, you know, nobody to help you, or whatever it is the devil tells you. God doesn't choose people that the world would choose. Matter of fact, he chooses, in these scriptures it says, God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. He chooses people who know they don't have it all together, and know that if God doesn't show up, they're done for. So all the people in the world who can't figure out why in the world God is using you have to watch him do it. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Why? So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Do you know out of all the disciples, there was only one of them that the world would have approved of, and that was Judas. He was very well educated, had it all together, spoke well. I mean, Peter, no way. Maybe Luke, he was a doctor. But most of the disciples that Jesus chose, and he didn't just get stuck with them, the Bible says that he prayed all night before he chose them. But see, no matter what God chooses you for, if you won't believe it, then it'll never happen. So you have to stop looking at yourself the way the world views you, and you have to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. And I can tell you, I don't care who you are, if God calls you to do something, you may not have one natural qualification, but you know what qualifies you? God's anointing. And we talk so little about the anointing now, I don't even know how many people really even know what it is. The anointing is when the presence of God comes on you and enables you to do something. The Bible says that when Saul, King Saul, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit came on him, he was turned into another man. And I love that. You know, I never knew I was funny till I started preaching. Nobody would have thought I was funny. And people just laugh all the time. And I'll tell you the truth, I know that it's the Holy Spirit. I know that. He can cause you to do things you would never do, say things you don't even know. Is anybody listening to me? You're not going to be excited about your life if all you ever do is what you want to do or what you think you can do or what your friends think you can do. The only way you're ever going to be excited about your life is to start doing what you really believe that God wants you to do and what's in your heart to do. Follow your heart. That's one of the things that Jesus died to buy you, is the right to follow your heart. Come on. God does not choose you because of your education, your skills, your experience, or your capabilities. He chooses you because you're available. I always like to say, God doesn't choose you because of ability, but because of availability. You know, I really hope and pray that every person in here, see, there's something in my heart that I want to see happen, and it'll have to happen after you go home. It's not a matter of it happening right in here. It's got to happen when you go home. And I want to see every single one of you make a decision that you want to do something for God. Well, I'm glad you're so excited about that. See, and a lot of you are thinking, well, what could I do? Well, that's the problem. You'd be amazed what you could do. All you have to do is say what Isaiah did. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, send me. You're not too young and you're not too old. And what you do will not be insignificant. I think I started to tell you a while ago that one of my daughters came at just the right time when I was basically saying, I need more help. But it was more like personal help that I needed, so it had to be the right person. I mean, you can't write 125 books and keep up with all the other, the grocery list and the, you know, all the other things that I mean, you just can't. And God provides what you need if you're doing what he's asking you to do. And she said, I really believe at this time in my life, the call of God on my life is to help you. And so she's a helper. Well, you know, maybe people don't clap for her, but I call her the momager. She manages mom. Amen. And she sacrifices so much of her time. And yes, I bless her and I help her and I do things for her, but there's no way that she could do for me what she does. She's got four kids of her own. Now, two of them are gone from home, and the other two are, one's in college and one's in her last year of high school, so it's not like they need constant care. But she just does so much for me. And can I tell you something? The people who do those kinds of things for me, honestly, I can tell you they are some of the most important people in my life. And so if you're one of those people that's called to just help somebody else, God bless you. And just do it, and do it with all your heart. And don't ever say, well, I'm just a helper. Or I just clean homes. I'm glad somebody cleans homes. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you are glad somebody cleans homes? Stop discounting yourself and stop belittling yourself. And I'm just a wife and a mother. My gosh, that's one of the highest callings. Man, if you can raise a house full of kids today and stay sane, God bless you. Problems created when your confidence has been stolen. And you know what confidence is? It's just a belief. It's not a feeling. I don't always feel confident when I come up here. I don't always even feel when I'm done like my preaching was good. I usually do, but I don't always. And I had one of those a few weeks ago where I just thought, that was the biggest mess I've ever seen in my life. And I told Dave, I said, oh, there's nothing worse for me than preaching and just feeling like it just wasn't good. Anybody else in here that teaches or preaches ever feel that way? You're just like, it just wasn't good. And I rarely do this, but I had them send me a copy of it, and I watched it, and you know what? It was really good. You know, the devil was just messing with me that night. And he loves to make you feel like whatever you are doing is no good. So confidence is not a feeling. You don't always feel, you know? But it's a possession. It's something that Jesus died to give you. He doesn't want you to be ruled by fear. He wants you to be confident, and he wants you to be able to step out and to do things, and to do things maybe that nobody's ever done. And he wants you to be so confident in him that even if you do lose a few friends, that you can trust him to say, well, maybe they were just excess baggage in my life and not who I really needed anyway. I mean, if people aren't going to love you for you, come on, are we getting anything? Well, here's just a handful of problems that's created when you don't have any confidence. Number one, your potential in Christ is never reached. Fear rules you, and you live in regret about all the things you wish you would have done, but were afraid to do. I think the saddest thing in the whole world is to look at an older person. I mean, somebody, you know, 70, 80 years old, and all they have left is regret. That's just heartbreaking. I wish I would have. Don't die wishing you would have. don't die with all your potential still locked up on the inside of you. I want every person to leave this conference saying, God, I want to do something for you. Show me what I can do. And it probably won't be a platform ministry. You may not go to Hollywood and become a movie star. You maybe won't be the next Natalie Grant. But you can do something. Come on, there's something you can do. I honestly cannot even imagine how it would change the world and how fast it would change the world. How people would admire the church and admire believers, and our churches would be packed. You would not be able to get all the people in any church if Christians were actually just being kind to neighbors and helping the elderly person next door and picking up that employee whose engine blew out of their car and they can't afford to get it fixed. And oh, by the way, it's an employee that really has mistreated you. But what does it say to them in the world if you offer to go pick them up, go out of your way and pick them up every day for 6 months? Love is more than a word. And it takes confidence to love some people. Stop thinking that what you can do or what you can give is too little to even mess with. You know how I started working out? Because I always had the same excuse that everybody does. I don't have time. As much as I travel, there's no way that I can do it and do it on a regular basis. And finally, this was what pushed me over the edge. In addition to what God said to me, the thing that pushed me over the edge was I decided, and if you'll decide this, things will start changing your life. I decided I'm going to stop worrying about what I can't do, and I'm going to do what I can do. Even if I can only work out 15 minutes once a week, I'm going to do what I can do. And you know what? That kind of like jumpstarts things. And so you do a little something, and then then I started liking it. And when I started being able to wear smaller clothes, I really liked it. Come on. And I really like it now when somebody says to me, you're really in good shape for somebody 75 years old. I like it. And it keeps me going back. You see, first you invest. Now listen, first you invest, and eventually after some long suffering. Come on, you know what I mean by that. When I started working out, I was so sore I had to fall on the toilet and pray to be able to get up. Oh my gosh, I thought I was gonna die. I mean, my trainer said, some days you're gonna feel downright sick, and I did. First you invest, then you wait, then you get a reward. First you invest, then you wait, then you get a reward. I'm going to finish this up and let you guys get some sleep. You won't sleep anyway, but if you don't live with confidence, you will never know full joy. Never. And one of the worst things, I think, is the Holy Spirit is grieved because he's in you to help you be all you can be. And then the door is open for many kinds of torment. I had a whole section here on the fear of failure, which I can't get to, but I think you get the point anyway. How many of you got the point tonight? All right. How many of you are ready to say, here I am, God, send me? Now, do you mean it? Because if you say it, this is one of those you can't take it back things. All right. I'm going to pray. Father, I didn't see any hands down. So that means you got a lot of new workers. New people that want to do what you want them to do. And so I pray that you will give everybody in here an assignment of some kind. And if it doesn't come right away, if they don't know what it is right away, then don't let them get frustrated waiting. Show us daily what you want us to do, as well as giving us our life mission. Help us be bold enough to step out and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and to be confident even when we don't feel confident. In Jesus' name, amen. God really taught me the importance of just being yourself. And because I was insecure from all the abuse in my life, I didn't like who I was. So I was always trying to be somebody else, whether it was my pastor's wife or more like Dave, or, you know, my pastor's wife was sweet and, you know, I had this rough exterior, and or my neighbor next door was very homemaker, you know, sewed her family's clothes, had a garden. And so during that year, it was like I tried to have a garden, I tried to make my family's clothes. I mean, it's like I tried all these things that God was not anointing me for.
You tried everybody else on.
She actually did not have the garden. I had the garden. I dug the garden up.
I planted
tomatoes.
Well, it was my garden.
And then she was going to can them with our next door neighbor. And that's a story in itself that was hilarious. And then she did sew a pair of shorts for me, and that was a disaster. And a shirt, she sewed the shirt inside out.
I hemmed the sleeves wrong.
Hemmed it wrong, and then the shorts had pockets longer than the shorts, and so.
So now you're the one in short shorts.
I said,
yeah, not you. You're the one in short shorts.
I said, no, I cut the pockets out. Cut the pockets out, and I should have kept the shorts. I burned them.
And what a lesson there is in that. How many people get so frustrated because they're trying to do what somebody else does? And it works for that somebody else because it's right for them, but it doesn't work for you. And you don't understand. You feel like God is blocking you from success. And thankfully, He does, because we'd spend our lives doing things that's not what God wants us to do. And so during that year of doing nothing, I actually was learning the importance of not trying to be everybody else.